Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen. All right, girls. So it has been such a unique experience. I'm loving the teaching team, and Amanda did so amazing. It was her first time, and wasn't she awesome? I know, I was telling everyone, wait a second, she already has it. Like, it took me forever to get in a pulpit and be comfortable, and like, I'm never really comfortable, but it just, Amanda, thank you. It was such a rich word. It was so beautiful. And so we have so many good things. Pastor Deborah, and then we had Dr. Vanessa, Pastor Sue, everybody's been teaching. I think Tracy, you're up soon. And then we have even Pastor Joanna's going to come up here and teach to us. And so it's going to be so good, girls. And Galatians, at first I was like, really, God, Galatians? Can we do like another one? I want to do different books. And now I realize why the Lord is having us walk through Galatians, because it is an assurance of why we are who we are as Christians. It's a reminder of who God is in us and where and what everything we do comes from and the source of it. And if we don't stay firm in these things, we're going to get taken out. You're going to see the things going on around the world, and you're going to be shaken to the core. You're not going to know how to stand in the midst of trouble. You're going to respond in a panic mode. You're going to respond in freak out moments. You're going to respond in the way that your flesh wants to. But if we could get this stuff into us, we're going to respond in the Spirit of God. We're going to respond to life the way that God wants us to respond. We're going to become mature in Christ only the way that God can lead us to be mature. And so I believe that God has something for us today. So I want you girls to lean in. Please turn your cell phones off. I always, without fail, a phone is ringing in the middle of a message at Women Rock AM. And so please just check your phones for me. And you could put them on Do Not Disturb. You know, if anybody really needs to get a hold of you, I'm telling you, Jesus has their back. All right. And so I wanted to just go through today, and I wanted to talk about, we have been in Galatians, we are going to Galatians 3. So turn with me to Galatians 3. Now, I'm preaching today a little differently than I normally do. It's definitely an expository message. What does expository mean? That sounds like a very Bible college word. Well, expository means that we're going line upon line, and we're pulling truths out from each part of the scripture. Okay, and so that's what I was trying to read through the whole thing, and there's such a big thought. And I was like telling the girls, I'm going to take all of these verses. And then I started studying, and I'm like, I have to slow down. I can't do this all. It's overwhelming me. I was freaking out. Then I got a call from my mom, and she's excited about the scripture. So then she's pouring into me, and I'm like, I feel like a drink from a fire hose, and I don't know where to start. And I just sat with the Holy Spirit yesterday, and he said, just do expository. Let me take you one verse at a time. And so I just thought it's going to be pretty simple. It might be things that you remember. You know, we think about theology as deep, and I was talking to God about it too. I'm like, God, I'm not a theologian. So no, I'm not. But the reality is the Lord said, neither am I. This is my word. This is what I spoke. Theology is what man's definition is of my word. And he said, I want you to understand what my word says. That's what you're there for today. And I said, okay, then I can do that, God. And so these are deep things. They are deep matters from God. They are the anchor to your soul, guys. The verses that I titled this, I titled it like 50 times. So I landed on this one, okay? That the Holy Spirit's assurance of our faith. We have to have the Holy Spirit's assurance of our faith. See, faith and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. You can't have faith without the Holy Spirit. You can't receive the Holy Spirit without faith. And so the two of them work actively together, and we're going to see that in the scripture today. So go with me to Galatians 1 through 3, and we'll start there. And then we're going to pull out truths out of each part of these scriptures. Now remember, these Galatians, they were being inundated by the Judaizers. The Judaizers were coming at them and wanting them to learn their law and follow the ways of the law and do things according to what the law says. And so they were getting all bundled up in their minds. They were following the ways of the law. They were doing things according to the Jewish law, the old commandments. And here's Paul, he's responding to them in verse 3, chapter 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now, Paul was not usually seen as the nicest man. Paul was kind of like, I remember Cheryl Salem saying that her son, he was like Paul the Apostle, and she'd had to go to every teacher and apologize behind him. You know, I think Paul is in your face, and he's just going to say it like it is. And he says, oh, you foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you with that you should not obey the truth? So right there, it tells me that they have been subjected to the truth. They have been under the truth. They understood the truth of God's word, but yet for some reason, they have allowed themselves to be swayed in a different direction. Can anyone relate with that nowadays? How many Christians have sat under the truth, called ourselves Christians, served God for a whole long season of our lives, and then we can get swayed and be drifted away from God, right? All of us can. You probably are thinking about people that used to sit around these tables with you at Women Rock. Whatever happened to them? Where did they go? Well, how about this? Maybe they have been bewitched. They have been swayed by the evil one. They have been listening to the voice of the enemy in their lives. And so here's Paul warning them. Oh, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed to you as crucified. You see, they understood the crucifixion. They understood everything that Jesus went through. They were way closer to it than we are, guys. And yet, here they were, still going back to the ways of the Jews, the ways of the law, the ways that kept them and their flesh comfortable, the ways that they felt that they could follow and had boundaries that they could stay within, because we are people that actually like boundaries. Humanity does like to have boundaries. I know right now we kick against it, but the reality is what will happen is it's going to swing so far this way, everybody's going to want to come back and actually, you know, button it up because they're not going to like what that produced. And so they're going to look for goodness again. And this has happened back and forth over generations. You can look through it at history. So this, they have experienced salvation. Jesus Christ himself, they have seen this firsthand. And in verse 2, it says, this only I want to learn from you. I kind of was like, is Paul being a little like, why don't you tell me? Like, only you can tell me. Kind of a little cocky about a little like, you know, with them. Do you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is when you hear that, when you see the capital S, guys, it's the Holy Spirit, okay? Represents the Holy Spirit by the works of the law being the old way of living by the Jewish people. That's how they were able to be close to God. It's what brought them close to God. Or by the hearing of faith. So here's Paul saying, hold on. Are we going back to doing our works to get close to God, or are we going to hear and believe? So number one, faith is received by hearing and believing. So simple, but yet for some reason so easily forgotten in Christianity. We hear the truth of God's word. We believe it, we put it into our hearts, and we run with it, and we live it out in our everyday life. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. That's right. And hearing the what? Word of God. That means the word. That is truth. That is life. It is your bread. It is your resource. It is your everyday manual to your everyday living. You've got to get the word in you. Now, all of you beautiful ladies are here today actually applying the word in your life. You've come today to receive a word from God. You've come today to sit under the word of God and learn from the word of God. That is one way we could do this. But every day, we have to make sure that we put into our lives a healthy practice of reading the word for ourselves. We have to put the word into our children's hearts. We have to begin to teach those practices to our children so that when they get old, they will not what? Depart. They won't be like these Galatians, oh, you foolish that knew the truth. Why have you walked away? And it says, building our faith means that we have to make time and space for God. Sometimes your worlds get so busy, guys, you've got to stop and you've got to make some time for God. Pastor Dan and I are leaving for sabbatical at the end of May, and we'll be gone for a month. Some of you have heard, but we've been going for 7 years nonstop. Thank you. 7 years nonstop. It's been one thing after another, one trauma after another trauma. Literally haven't had time to stop and process all the loss in our life, all the change in our life, and we're just going to sit and we're going to rest, and we're going to be in the presence of God so that we can hear the voice of God, and we're going to come back better and stronger for you guys, but we got to get filled up. So you got to take that time for yourselves to get filled up. You got to take that time for yourselves to sit and to rest and to be and to heal, because you don't properly heal when you keep yourself so busy, because you don't want to face it. And the reality is I get it. I don't want to have to go back 7 years and think about all the loss. But the reality is that the Lord told me I need to walk you through this. And he gave me a personal process of doing this. And it will end with a bonfire in my journal. And I just believe that the Lord loves us and that he cares for us and that he wants us to work through the things that he needs us to work through. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is after us. He needs the best of us. He doesn't need us being taken out because we're so bound up and wound up and we're so tight and we're just like crabby all the time. He wants women that are sold out, on fire, ready to go. Why? Because they've been in their word, they've heard the word, and they can be in faith for something. Sometimes when your faith is weak, it's a good thermostat of where your word intake has been. How much word have you really been into when your faith is so tired and weary? How much prayer have you committed to? What's your prayer life look like? Have you been on your knees like you used to be when you would see miracle signs and wonders, when you had to believe God for those things? I understand that once we get through those very hard moments, you're tired, right? You're like, I don't want to have to keep fighting like I just did for like the past 6 months. But don't stop talking to God. Don't stop bringing him into your every moment. You see, we hear. Faith comes by hearing and believing. I don't believe we're ever supposed to stop having faith. Faith is the activation of heaven. It's what moves heaven. It's the language of heaven. It is the DNA of how God begins to see our faith moving. He goes, oh, there we go. Now we can get moving. Come on, let's go. I can work with that. I can work with faith. But when we don't have faith, then we are walking blind. We're Christians walking blind on earth. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That means you got to have hope that maybe what you don't see right now, that your God is behind it no matter what. Even when you don't see it, he's working. I love the Waymaker song when it says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Like, that's what faith is. I may not see it all right now, but I know you've always been faithful. And your timing is not my timing. So, God, I believe, God, that you're going to come through and that you're gonna meet my need and you're gonna answer the prayer here on earth. And, Lord, that you're going to do some impossible things again. And, see, we've got to stir ourselves up. See, true faith does not deny the obstacle, guys. That's the problem with some of these faith confession people is that, oh, no, there is no problem. No, it doesn't deny the fact that there's an issue. But what it does, it doesn't give power to the issue. It declares that God is greater than the obstacle. He's greater than the issue. He's greater than the circumstance that they don't see or that they need to see. He's bigger than it all. And some of you are sitting in this room and you believed God for impossible things. And you didn't get the outcome you thought you should have gotten. What do you do with that? That's when we start losing our faith. That's when God stops becoming God. That's when he starts taking a back seat. And God says, you cannot judge me off of what you think I was supposed to do your way. You do what I tell you to do out of the word. If the word says to pray for healing, you pray for healing. Now, whether that healing looks like it's here on earth or it's in heaven, I'm still the healer. He's God or he's not. My dad used to say, if he sends me to hell, he's just because he's a good God and he's just. You see, we have to understand that God is God and that when I read my word, I may not understand everything around it, right? We only know in part and we see in part. But God is going to reveal to us, this is the cool thing, through the Holy Spirit. So when our faith begins to be activated and the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us is working, something begins to stir. And you might have to have conversations with God like, I don't get it. I feel like, where are you, God? And he'll say, I'm right here. Can you just trust me? Go back to the first thing I said to you. Go back to the first place I showed you. Go back to the dream I gave you. Go back to the vision that I put in your heart. Stop putting me on a timeline. Stop judging me when I don't come through the way you think. I am God and there is no other God before me. So just stay in faith. Get in my word and believe me for the impossible. That is your job. My job is to answer the way that I need to. You see, God is God. And sometimes we bring him down to our level and he becomes less than. How dare we? He is holy. He is just. His majesty is greater than ours. He uses us and chooses us, and yet we try to run him with the way we want things to be. And we call it faith. Be careful. You pray in the will of God. You pray in what God wants. You see, you had to have faith for your salvation, didn't you? You weren't able to save yourself or your soul. That can't happen. The only way that you were able to have salvation was through grace. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it, right? God is on the throne. He died on that cross. He became the spotless lamb for your salvation. And there was nothing you could do to earn it. It was already given to you freely. What we do with that, though, is what he's talking about. We have to have faith. When we receive salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells and works within us. Then there's power behind all of it. There's speaking in tongues. There's laying hands on the sick. There's believing God for the impossible. All these things, you get the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, your Bible, you start reading, you're like, woo! I get that! I didn't get that 5 days ago. Why? Because the power of God comes. He didn't leave you here on this earth to not be able to walk this earth out and to do it the way he needs you to do it. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you can stand in faith for anything. You can believe God for the impossible. You can trust that God will come through. The hard part is you have to drag your flesh along to go back to what you know in the Spirit. Your flesh is going to drag you down. It's going to take you down. Your thoughts and your processes, that's where the enemy comes. It's the battlefield of the mind. And he tries to rob the word out of your heart. He was robbing the word out of the Galatians' heart. He was taking what they knew away from them and putting them back into something that looked like God. Careful, church. There are churches out there right now, progressive church, calling themselves Christians, rewriting the Bible. Different denominations like Methodists and some of the other ones, they're changing their whole entire doctrine and their belief system. Oh yeah, big time. They're putting gay pastors in a pulpit and they're changing their whole Bible. I'm telling you right now, the word cannot be changed. And you better know the real word of God, not a man's version of the word of God. You better know the word of God because the Holy Spirit is teaching you and you can have faith in what the Holy Spirit is revealing to your heart. Will you make mistakes in life? Yes. As a Christian, you're going to screw up, guys. We all will. But the good thing is that by faith, I can receive my forgiveness from God and just go to the throne room. I don't have to get saved every time I screw up. But I can go to the throne room of God and say, okay, I totally messed up today. Like I said, words I shouldn't have said, and I felt ways I shouldn't have felt, and I went after that person and followed them down the freeway, and no, I really didn't, but you know, maybe you have some anger issues or something, I don't know. And God is like right there to say, okay, thank you for coming to me, let's work this out. And then you need to ask God for help. Can you help me change that part of who I am? Because I've got to step in and I've got to get in faith, and I can't be in faith when I'm in my flesh. You see, God wants us to have freedom. Faith brings freedom into our lives. That when I pray for something with God and I can ask him for something, I can leave it in his hands and walk away and know he's working. And I don't got to pick it back up and worry about it. I don't got to pick it back up and put it in my pocket and just keep it close to me because, oh, I don't know, maybe God's not going to come through. But no, I can go ahead and leave it at the throne room and go, you know what, God, you're more than enough and I know you're going to take care of this. This is what Paul is saying. What are you doing? You have this freedom like no one else. We have such a goodness of God that came upon us, and yet you are putting yourself within boxes. Even today, the Jewish people follow laws, up to 630 of them. Every single day they have to live by them. I'd like to challenge them and say, really? I don't know. No man that's that perfect. Only a God who is. You see, God is on the throne. And he will not be mocked and he will not be replaced by something else. Man's ideas are not big enough for him. Verse 3, let's go there. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by your flesh? Whew. So how did that work out for you, right? When we did our fleshly ways, how does that work out for us? Do we end up feeling stupid and bad about ourselves and, oh, what was I doing? I know, I do too, Ruth. Everyone does. And the reality is that he's saying that you're going back to the fleshly world. What are you doing? You can't make yourself perfect. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. I love how the voice actually wrote this, so I'm going to read you out of the voice. It says, are you so foolish? Do you think you can perfect something God's Spirit started with any human effort. Ooh. With any human effort. That means that there's something spiritual. The supernatural is working on our behalf, and yet we want to have the flesh control the supernatural. It doesn't work that way. But the supernatural oversees and supersedes the flesh. The Bible says to deny your flesh, take up your cross, right? And so in order for us to understand the supernatural working in our lives, we have to understand that it cannot be done in our flesh. Yes, we are of the flesh, but we have to be of the Spirit. How do I do it? I got to keep myself in faith daily. I've got to put myself in my word daily so that my spirit man is what dominates and what comes out instead of my flesh and the ways of myself. So then I wanted to make point number two. Ready? Don't return to your old ways or your works. It's so easy for us to do that. Going back to our old way, Galatians 4:9 says, so now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and the useless spiritual principles of this world? You see, the law was according to the flesh. It was a way to get close to God, but it wasn't a way to be in connection and in God. See, God is living in you now. You are no longer just separated from him, and you have to bring your sacrificial lamb, and the priest has to go sacrifice that. No, no, no. He became the spotless lamb, and then he left, and he left the Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell on the inside of us. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You carry Jesus everywhere you go. And so if that's how this is, why would I return back to what I used to do? My old thoughts, my old worries, my old frets, my old ways. But yet we all find ourselves going back to our old ways. Because the flesh is very loud, isn't it? And when we don't get what we want, the way we want it, in the time frame that we want it, we girls will try and make something happen. Because we make things happen as moms, right? But I feel like the Lord is wanting us to say, would you stop? Let me do what I need to do and get out of the way. Proverbs 22:11, this verse seems so disgusting, but this is how we should think of it when we want to go back and serve God the way that we want to serve him. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Whew! I don't want to go back to my old ways that brought me nothing. That brought me sin, that brought me shame, that brought me a disconnection from God. I had an idea of God, but I didn't have a relationship with God. I can't tell you how many people tell me all the time when I'm out in the world and we have conversations about God, but God knows I'm a good person. I want to like jump on them so fast and like go theological on them, like this scripture, you know, but I don't. I'm like, Josh, shut up, just let them talk. And one time, I won't say who because maybe she's listening. So we were talking, this person and I, and they said that to me. And I was stuck in a chair for a really long time. And I was like, okay, yeah, you might be a good person, but that doesn't matter. Do you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you? You see, you're responsible for what we do with what God gives us. And God has given us everything. So what are we doing with it? Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, right? Grace given to us freely, God's sovereign divine ability to work on our behalf, then it is no longer of works. That's your ways, guys. That's you making something happen. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If you put works in it, it's no longer grace because you're doing it yourself. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. You see, Romans is nailing this on the head. Here they are, these Galatians, wanting to go back to works, wanting to go back to systems, wanting to go back. We live in systems now. What is everybody screaming? The systems are broken. I'm here to tell you they are. All of them are. Try and go to the doctor right now. It's a joke. Everything. I just avoid it. I'm just pray over my body and move on. Because I'm not kidding. Like, it's a joke. Everything is a joke. The government wants all your money, but they don't want to give you your money they owe you. I mean, these systems are broken. The school system is not teaching math anymore. They're teaching how to teach people how to hate each other and bringing division. That's what they're doing. They're teaching kids that it's okay to be gay. It's okay to want to be a cat. That's a new one. It's a whole thing. Yeah, you can be an animal and you can go around meowing and never speak English language. Did you know that's being taught in high schools in San Diego? Oh, yeah. Parents, wake up. Look what your kids are being taught. It's not education. And yet God is saying these are works of men. And so you have to be walking out in the Spirit daily or you're going to miss it. You're going to get taken out in your works. Or you're going to think you're okay with me, but you're not. And the Galatians had everything in front of them, and Paul is reminding them. So much has been given to you and I, so much has been accomplished at the cross. So let's not slip back in. Let's not give in to the ways of our flesh, to the ways of our world. You might need to go home and change some things. You might need to have some real conversations with your family. Okay, we've let some things slide here through the last 2 years. You know, 2020 kind of threw us off a little. We got to get ourselves back on track. We got to be people that hear the word, that believe the word, that step into the word, that do all that God wants us to do, because living in the Holy Spirit within us is something that we are responsible for. We're responsible for what we do with the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, to you, say to me, and works miracles among you. How many of you have seen a miracle? Good miracles, right? How many of you have not seen a miracle? Okay, I love Ruth. Isn't she the best? Okay, well, good. I'm glad everybody's seen a miracle. If you have been in an altar call, you've seen a miracle. Because watching somebody say no to hell and yes to heaven is a miracle. They're literally transitioning out of hell and into heaven in that very moment when they say yes to God. That's a miracle. That's why we here at The Rock take that so seriously. Because we are in battle against the enemy for people's souls. And it says, so the miracles, does he do it by works of the law? God doesn't work according to the law, does he? No. Or by the hearing of faith. Faith. See, God supplied the Holy Spirit for you and for me. I don't think we understand the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of denominations that talk about the Holy Spirit, believe in the Holy Spirit, but believe that he left with the last apostle. I'm here to tell you, no, he did not. He's here today operating and moving. He is working in you and through you. And the same thing that he did well, Jesus did here on this earth, he says that you will do greater. That means that you have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You have the ability to preach the word of God and people will receive the word and their lives can be changed. You see, the power of God is at work inside of you and his name is the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we ignore him. He's a third part of the Trinity. He's just, you know, oh, that other part that they really don't. But did you know that when the earth was created, that the Holy Spirit was present? That he was hovering over the earth. He said, let us make man in our image. That means the Holy Spirit's been a part of this thing from the very beginning. Jesus himself had to come and strip off of the Godhead and put on humanity. And then the Holy Spirit actually had to descend upon him. He needed the Holy Spirit to work here on this earth. I'm going to prove this to you. Jesus knew how important the Holy Spirit would be for us after he died on that cross, that he shows us in Scripture. Here you go. Go with me to John 14, 15 through 18. I'm going to do the Amplified because I just love how wordy it is and we're women. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, talking about the Father in heaven, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He doesn't ditch you. When you bug him, he can't leave. You have someone stuck to you like glue. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. That means the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. Not what the world says, not what the government says, not what our culture say, not what our denomination say, but what the word of the Holy Spirit says is truth. You can bank on it. You can go with it. You can run with it. You can live by it. Whom the world cannot receive. The unbeliever is the world. They cannot see the Holy Spirit. They don't hear the Holy Spirit. When you talk through the Holy Spirit, you are speaking a different language than they are. They may not get it right away, but you are anointed to speak because the Holy Spirit is filling you. And then it says, and take it to heart because it does not see him or know him. The world does not. But you, say I, know him because he is the Holy Spirit. He remains with me continually and will be in me. Ooh, that's good news, girls. You should give him a hand. You're not alone. It says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. You see, Jesus left, but he knew that he had to take the keys of sin and death. He had to go sit at the right hand of the Father into his position. But he left the Holy Spirit on this earth. That is why you can be at the right hand of the Father and you could be here on earth at the same time. Because God in heaven and God on earth is living on the inside of us. And he is working through us. We are not alone. You are not just so-and-so that was conceived by two drunk people. You are not people that are beat up and broken. You are not people that the enemy has defined as defeated. No, you are a daughter of the Most High God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. He is stirring in you. He is moving you. And when the world wants to label you, the Holy Spirit says, stop. You are who I say you are. You do what I say you do, and you operate under my authority. You see, the Holy Spirit is so massive in our lives, and yet we don't even realize what we carry. When Jesus said another helper, I love this word, it's allos. Another helper means one besides me and in addition to me, but one just like me. The remaining of one of two, same as if Jesus was physically with us. See, Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit when he sat at that right hand and he said, you will not do this in your own ability, in your own strength, but you will do this with your all power and your faith will get moving. Your faith will be activated and the Holy Spirit and the faith working will be what you can do. Now these Galatians were following the law, which was dead, which was not going to take them anywhere, which was going to lead them to a confined space. But we, church, now have the Holy Spirit and we have faith and we aren't confined. We don't have to stay within the parameters of what man says or what the world says or defines, but we are all that God has called us to be, and yet we sit so idle and we operate so defeated. And I feel like the Holy Spirit saying, stop, shake yourself up, shake it off right now, girls, just shake it off. Remind yourselves who you are. He gave everything for you. And Paul was upset with these Galatians. What are you doing? What are you doing? Verse 6. Just as Abraham, this is where it gets good. I don't know if I have time. I do. I have time to go there. I'm going to go there. We're going to get into some scripture, okay? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. Accounted means credited to him for right standing. Therefore, know that only those who are of the faith are the sons of Abraham. What does all of this mean? It means that we can only please God through faith. And Abraham is an example of what true faith was. Abraham's life was an example of what true faith would require and what it would look like. And the result of what Abraham received, and in Abraham's timing, it didn't work, but in God's timing, it came through. Why? Because faith is on God's time. So go with me. See, the Jews saw Abraham. I'm going to have you turn to Romans 4 while I talk. Romans 4. The Jews saw Abraham as their spiritual father. That's who they had a connection with. That's how they learned from the word of God. That's how they understood the things of God was from Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. So he was their source for spiritual blessing. But Paul is showing them that Abraham was blessed by his faith and not his works. That God blessed Abraham even before he was circumcised. He had the promises of God. Because the Jews circumcised and they said that's when you would become under the law and you'd be blessed and you'd get all these things. Well, Abraham was blessed before that. He ended up getting circumcised just to prove to them that he was who he was. But before that, God had already promised him everything. You see, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. What God is saying here is that it's for everyone. And that Abraham's seed was for us, guys. We are a product of the seed of what Abraham, God was talking about with Abraham and the Gentiles and the Jews. God had released it to everyone. His power is for everyone, whoever wants to receive it. But the Jewish people were like, no, we are it. We're it. We're the chosen. We're the superior. We're the ones. And Paul's going, hold on. I'm even Jewish, but I'm telling you right now, you got this wrong. God came for humanity. He came for the broken, and I'm going to prove it to you with Abraham. Go with me to Romans 4. I got to take my glass off because I can't read close, and then I need him to see you. So it's really just a welcome to getting old, I guess, right? So weird. All right. For what does the scripture say about Abraham? Believed God, and if it was accounted to him for righteousness. I'm actually going to read it in the voice. Do you guys mind? I actually love the way that it wrote it. It's very close to the New King James, actually. But then it beautifully masterpieces it. And I think it's a beautiful story to tell. Because the scriptures say that Abraham believed God and he trusted in him and his promises. So God counted to his favor a righteousness. Now, when you work a job or do your wages come from a gift or a compensation for your work? Is it a gift when you work a job?
No.
It's compensation, right? You put in time, you get money back. Yeah. It is most certainly not a gift. You are only paid for what you have earned. Okay? So when Jesus is saying Abraham believed God and trusted in his promises, so God counted to him his favor as righteousness. That means it was debited to him. It was given to him. His faith brought him to a place where God credited him. Faith and righteousness, right standing with God. Okay? Here we go. I'm going to jump all the way down. You can read about the circumcision if you want on your own time. And it does explain it. It's pretty interesting. But I'm going to go to verse 13. It says, the promise is given to Abraham and his children that one day they would inherit the world. Do not come because he followed the rules of the law. Now, back in the day, that's all he knew. So God promised him something that was not according to all he knew about God. Because the law gave them the defined. It led them to Jesus. It led them to God. The law did. That's how they connected. That's how they stayed close to God in the Old Testament. But it's showing us right now that the Old Testament actually had the Holy Spirit at work. And that there were things that were apart from the law. And that God was moving in Abraham's life and showing them, hold on. What he did with the Galatians here, God was doing with Abraham here in the Old Testament. So what God did in the New Testament, he was doing in the Old Testament. Good news, right? And then it says that they would inherit the world. Do not come because they followed the rules of the law. It comes as a result of his right standing before God. And standing he obtained through faith. So faith is a key here when we're walking our lives out. Faith is what brings us the attention, and we get the attention of heaven. Faith is what activates the Holy Spirit working on and in through our lives. You see, faith is the key to what we're talking about. Verse 14, and if this inheritance is available only in those who keep the law, then faith is a useless commodity, and the promise is canceled. For the law brings God's wrath against sin. But where the law doesn't draw the line, there can be no crime. This is the reason that faith is a single source of promise. So that grace would be offered to Abraham's children, those whose lives are defined by the law and those who follow the path of faith charted by Abraham, our common father. Verse 17, as it is recorded in the scriptures, I have appointed you the father of many nations. And in the presence of God, who creates out of nothing and holds the power to bring to life what is dead. You have some dead places in your life? God can bring life back to them. Abraham believed and so became our father. Verse 18, against all odds, Abraham's hope grew into full-fledged faith that would turn out to be the father of many nations, just as God had promised what he had said. This is a New Testament. It's a testimony of what God told Abraham all those years ago in the Old Testament. They are the fulfillment of what God spoke to Abraham in the Old Testament. They are living out the word that went forth all those years before, and yet they're still not getting it. This is what Paul said. What are you doing? If it's not enough for you with the Holy Spirit and faith, let me just take you all the way back to the Old Testament and the law with Abraham. And God told you then, and you are a result of what God was speaking to Abraham back then. We are a product of this faith. See, in spite of all of this, his faith in God's promise did not falter. In fact, his faith grew and gave glory to God, verse 21, because he was supremely confident that God could never deliver on his promise. That is why you see God saw his faith and counted him righteous. This is how he became right with God. Your faith will bring you to a place of righteousness with Christ. Why? Because you cannot receive the Holy Spirit without faith. You cannot receive your salvation without faith. You have to have faith that you received your salvation. When you receive your salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. When you have faith, then God can move and be activated in your life. Faith is a language of heaven. Do not forget this. It activates God on our behalf. Faith means believe in the Greek. It means trust, to have faith and to be fully convinced and acknowledge. Abraham was fully convinced that Sarah was going to have a child. He was fully convinced when he took his child up and he had to try, he was going to have to kill him and sacrifice. He was fully convinced. And I want to say to some of you, are you fully convinced and assured of your Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, that he is at work in you and through you? Or is that just an idea? Or you want to believe it, but you aren't living it out and you're not feeling it. I'm telling you right now, it's not a feeling. He's a person. And the Holy Spirit is a person living on the inside of you. And your faith is this, it produces obedience. Your faith will produce obedience. And in your obedience, you will see God come through. And your submission will bring a positive blessing into your life to what God said. Abraham had this kind of faith. See, faith accepts God's testimony in a trusting and a childlike way, and in a manner, and salvation as a free gift. The law was given to lead the Jewish people to Christ. So any of us that becomes a way for us to earn our salvation, it is a distortion. When you begin to say, well, we can do this in our own way, guys, right? Like, I'm not going to have sex before marriage, and I'm not going to cuss, and you become so rigid, which I'm saying don't do any of those things, but don't do them because it's the way to do them. Do them because you love God, because the Holy Spirit's working in you, and you can say, no, I don't need that in my life. I'm okay. But if you're like doing it because you're trying to please God by that, you're missing it. You already pleased God. He already loves you. He already brought you into the fold. Now he wants you to have such a deep relationship with him that those things are detestable to you, but they're not your law. That's where we get this wrong. This is where holiness gets thrown out the door and grace gets brought in, and everybody's like, in reality, guys, holiness and grace work together. That God used all of it. And that he is holy, so we there must be holy. You need to go back and listen to Pastor Jim's message last night. It'll give you a depth of holiness that you just need to define for yourselves and put back into your lives. And then we have grace. We get to step into God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf. When we can't do it because we're going to strive for holiness, but we'll mess up. And that's when grace comes along and says, it's okay. Come on, pick yourself back up, dust off, and get going. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. You see, by nature of mankind, it presumes to seek salvation by works. I'm saved because of all the good things I do. There are religions out there that, you know, it drives me nuts when I see it on TV. I never grew up in this religion, but Catholicism. But when they do it, they go and confess to the priest, and the priest says, you're forgiven. And I'm like, who are you? Please don't come confess to me. I can't forgive you. You can go directly to the Father. Did you know that? Like, you don't have to go to the priest. God made the way for you to go directly to him and have that conversation with him on a personal level. Why? Because God loves you, because that's law. Those are old ways of doing things. And we can make our own laws in our lives. We can make these own forms in our lives. We can become so rigid in the way we serve Christ that we miss loving people. We miss seeing the power of God move on our behalf. In fact, we talk ourselves right out of faith. And that's what Paul is saying. There's this fine balance that you've got to figure out, that the Holy Spirit working in you is working through you, but it requires faith to get the product of that result. That the law is not the way to live. See, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf doesn't work until we finally surrender everything to him. And we allow him to be God in our lives. So many times we can try and make things happen. I'm here today. Stop trying to make things happen. And just let the Holy Spirit work through you. verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. I believe we're seeing that. So then those who are of the faith, which is us, guys, not just the Jews, but we get to be a part of this. We're engrafted into this beautiful promise of God. We are engrafted. We are brought in. We come under the promises of what God says. And it says that those who are brought into the faith are blessed and believing Abraham. We are blessed people. So girls, we've got to live like we're blessed people. How can I keep my faith and my assurance in my salvation and my position as a child of God? Number one, you've got to receive, faith is received by hearing and believing. Number two, don't return to your old ways. Number three, God supplies the Holy Spirit. And number four, we can only please God by faith. Let's step into all that we are. Let's not go back to our old ways, but let's allow the Holy Spirit and our faith to link up, and let's see God's power move on this earth, because, guys, it's time. He's going to light us up, and he's going to use us so that he can have an ushering in of people, that they won't have to go to hell, but they're on their way to heaven, and you are all full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you get something from the Lord today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.